Blog Talk Radio.
Live and based from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, simple and plain like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need's a check. Might check.
I understand that Memphis Grizzlies fans are maybe not totally excited about the fact. Maybe in the back of your mind, you're still thinking about, hey, the 2 seed, Southwest Division crown. It was right there within our reach, and it faded away. But considering that we are the 5 seed and considering that the Memphis Grizzlies have held home court in the first 2 games of their first round playoff series in the Western Conference against the Portland Trail Blazers, can't complain too much. It's been an excellent start to these playoffs for these Memphis Grizzlies, and we're going to talk about that and so much more on tonight's episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and I am very excited, as always, to have you with us for the program. Unfortunately, not with us tonight. With us in spirit is Mr. Chris Faulkner. He was downgraded to out for the program a couple hours ago. Chris is feeling under the weather, so we hope Chris has a speedy recovery for these week for the Saturday game, especially coming up Saturday night. We hope Chris feels better, and we will do our best to carry on without him. I am joined, however, by our producer, Mr. Chip Williams. Chip, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Joe, I'm great, man. I'm doing a lot better after last night and after the last couple of games. I guess it literally is the best-case scenario. It's better than any other alternative you could have asked for. And I know we'll get into a lot more later, but I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling really good about a lot of things.
They look a heck of a lot more like the December Memphis Grizzlies and the November Memphis Grizzlies in particular, the team that was 15-2 at the end of the month of November. They're looking a lot more like them than I think a lot of us, myself included, thought that they could look, especially with all of the injury concerns. But we'll run all that down as we go through the show. Ways to get in contact with the program. This is GBB Live. We are on Twitter, at GBB Live. Give us a follow there. Interact with the program in that way. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax, MULLINAX. And you can follow our producer, Chip Williams, at Chip Williams Jr. The chat room is also open this evening. You can jump into the chat, ask us a question at any time. I look over that, try to put out questions. If you have a question for me or Chip or maybe one of our guests later on in the show, hit us up there. Happy to interact with you there. Plus, and we'll hype this for the next 30 minutes to be sure, we are, for the first time since we have returned to the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, opening up the phone lines to you, the listener, the live listener. If you listen to the live podcast, we're trying to reward, in a way, those of you that have listened to us live. A vast majority of our listens come from the archive podcast, the one that is obviously the recording of this. But we also have had a growing audience of live listeners. So if you're listening, here in about 10 minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines. We want to bring you on the show so your voice can be heard when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies, and we'll give you that phone number here in a little bit. That's the first segment. Chip and I will break down Grizzly Bear news as Chris normally would. We'll carry on in his place, and we'll also open up the phone lines at about 6:45 Central Time. Then at 7 o'clock, we are going to welcome Sam Tung, wonderful contributor for Blazers Edge, the SB Nation blog for the Portland Trail Blazers. I joined him for a podcast previewing the series earlier in the week. He's going to return the favor and come on and talk with us about the series so far, give it an overall synopsis, what went wrong for the Blazers, what, if anything, went well. And there were some positives, especially in Game 2 for them. And we're also going to see what it's going to take for Portland to get back in this series. Because right now, it, along with the other 2-0 series, all of them except the Spurs and Clippers, they all feel pretty in control. The teams that have the 2-0 leads And history tells us that those teams that have that 2-0 lead have a 94% likelihood of carrying on to the next round. However, Memphis Grizzlies fans should keep in mind that history does not always work that way. If you look back to the 2013 playoffs and the Grizzlies and the Clippers, history doesn't play out that way. And it didn't play out that way for the Portland Trailblazers either last year. If my memory serves me correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll ask Sam this here in a little bit, I'm pretty sure that the Blazers were down 2-0 last year to Houston, and they went on a run and came out and won that series, I believe, in 6 games. So I'll confirm that with Sam, but recent history would go against the overall trend. And then in our final segment of the show, one of the original friends of the program, as we've joked about the past few weeks here, Mr. Ben Hogan, at Not the Golfer, of 92.9 ESPN in Memphis's Eric Hasseltine show. He's the producer of that program. He's going to join us in the final segment talking about what the playoffs in Memphis really are like. We talked to Jeff Calkins about that a little bit last week. We're going to reiterate it with Ben Hogan, what the past 2 games have been like, what it was like to see Grizz jump through the other grizzly bear, jump through the table. That was pretty cool, and the unfurling of the banner, we grind here, and all that stuff. I would say the Memphis Grizzlies do the playoffs just about as good, if not better, than anybody in the NBA. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the Conley injury in particular, the injury to Mike Conley. Obviously, it doesn't seem to have hampered him too much, but he is in pain, a lot of pain. And I read an article today that talked about an interview that he isn't getting numbed up. He's not taking a shot for it. So that means that he is really fighting through it. So we'll talk about that with Ben, and we'll also take a look ahead to the series, the next 3 games in the series that will happen between now and our next program on April 30th. So, Sam Tung in the second segment, Ben Hogan in the third segment, and you guys taking to the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, calling in less than 10 minutes. But first things first, Chip and I are going to attack some grizzly bear news. So, Chip, this week on the site, obviously leading into the series, there's a lot of great analysis pieces. As the series goes on, the game coverage really becomes a major focus. And the site, grizzlybearblues.com, has had a ton of views this week of analysis and game coverage. So just to get us started, Chip, taking a look at some of the analysis going into the series. One of the major articles that came out was one about how to defend LaMarcus Aldridge. That was by our own Andrew Ford. A great bit of writing from Andrew. And as I always say about Andrew's writing, I learn something every time I listen, every time I read Andrew Ford, because he explains basketball in such a great way, in a way that people can understand. And he really does a good job taking a look at how to defend LaMarcus. And if you look at the stats, at least from game one, maybe the Grizzlies read it as well, because LaMarcus Aldridge was not his efficiently scoring self in game one. Game two, he had a better performance. But the Grizzlies' victory in game one could directly be attributed, to defending LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard so well.
Yeah, absolutely. LaMarcus has kind of been that guy both of these games. But you talked about it in the first game. I think he took 34 shots to score his 32 points. And that's kind of like what Kevin Durant was doing last year, when Tony Allen was credited with playing so well against him. He was having to be a volume scorer as opposed to an efficient scorer. So if you're making a guy shoot more shots than he has points, you've done your job. LaMarcus is still going to get hit. He's an all-star, a perennial all-star pretty much now, for a reason. He's a tremendous basketball player. He's going to get his numbers. But Zach Randolph, to his credit, has made his life a nightmare. They've put Jeff Green on him some. Jeff, obviously, a little bit more athletic, maybe even a little bit longer. A guy that can, LaMarcus likes to step out and work that mid-range a lot. So Jeff Green may be a guy a little more suited to being able to step out and defend that. Kosta Kupos has even done it some. He especially did it some last night. But you're right. I think you said it the right way. Every time you read Andrew Ford, number one, you're going to learn something because the guy absolutely knows how to break down basketball. But number two, he puts it in a way that people who are just very casual basketball fans can understand it. It's not just some complex, jargon that you've never heard of, coach speak. He does a great job of that. And it seems like, you're right, and Joe. They did a great job in game one. You know, he hurt him a little bit last night, but they're taking away everyone else, especially Damian Lillard. So, yeah, the Grizzlies have done a great job, especially on the defensive end so far this series.
And going back into analysis, after game one, as you discussed there, Chip, Damian Lillard had a horrendous game offensively and defensively. 5-for-21 shooting in game one for Lillard. He wasn't much better in game two. And our own Jonah Jordan did a great job this week kind of breaking down why Mike Conley was so able and eager to take apart Damian Lillard on the defensive end. Now, in fairness to Lillard, the scheme of the Blazers, and this has been discussed a good bit elsewhere, but we'll talk about it now. The scheme of the Blazers, especially in game one, it's designed to give up the mid-range jumper. The bigs retreat on those pick and roll opportunities, and that allows for the mid-range jumper. Because in theory, if you think about it, you would prefer a team shoot the mid-range jumper than have an opportunity in the lane. But the Grizzlies, one of the reasons they're such a tough matchup for Portland, is players like Beno Udrih feed on the mid-range jumper. And Beno has been tremendous in this series, but it's hard to turn that switch on and off between Udrih and Conley. And Conley, obviously a better athlete than Beno, able to get to the rim. It's affected guys like Robin Lopez in terms of their ability to retreat and protect the tin, making sure that these guys aren't able to get there. So while Damian Lillard has had his issues, and he's a negative defender as it is, but at the same time, the Blazers' defense in general is shook because of the way that the Grizzlies are attacking their scheme. And Jonah did a good job explaining that in his piece about Lillard defending Conley.
He did. And one thing that I think will be interesting to see what Terry Stotts does, to number one, adjust to that, to taking away the mid-range jumper, because guys like Beno, even Courtney Lee, are such efficient mid-range jump shooters. Even Marc Gasol, they certainly weren't falling last night. But Marc has proven throughout the course of his career, he's a tremendous mid-range jump shooter. But especially off of those pick and rolls, they've got to change something up. And then I think it too, Joe, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Damian Lillard. If the Grizzlies start Tony Allen, I wonder if they'll do some kind of switch where maybe they put Allen Crabbe on Mike Conley and have Damian Lillard go guard Tony Allen to hide Damian Lillard's defensive efficiency the best that they can. Now, Tony, if you lose Tony, he'll make you pay. He's done a tremendous job of it all year long of cutting to the basket and making guys pay for losing him on the defensive end. But that, to me, that's the best thing that you can do right now if you're Terry Stotts. You've got to move Damian Lillard off of Mike Conley, because Conley, who probably most definitely is not 100% right now, he's killing Damian Lillard. And if you even look at it, I tweeted this out last night, Damian Lillard has only outscored Beno Udrih by 2 points so far this series. I think if I told you that at the beginning of the series, you would think that we'd be right where we are right now, and we are. We're up 2-0. And something, Joe, that doesn't really pertain to Damian, but it just kind of dawned on me, is if you look at it through the whole course of this grit and grind era, the Grizzlies have always been so difficult in the playoffs. They basically, if you don't have all your guys, they're going to crush you. That's what they did. You remember they fell 0-2 early to the Clippers a couple of seasons ago. I think it was Blake Griffin that suffered the injury. The Grizzlies ran off four straight. Even, I think, a couple of years back from that, when OKC did not have Russell Westbrook, the Grizzlies took him out in five games. The lone exception was the Western Conference Finals in 2013 when they were swept by San Antonio. Every other series, it's either been a dogfight competitively that the Grizzlies have lost or that they've won, or they've had guys injured that completely ran away from teams. And I know we're just two games in, but these two games have not been close, flat out. The Grizzlies have taken control outside of the very beginning of game two last night when Portland, I think, started 10-2. But once you saw it, the Grizzlies were only down 2 points after that second quarter, and you felt like they really did not play very – excuse me, after the first quarter, and you felt like they didn't play very well after the first quarter, you felt good going into it. If these guys just start playing like we know they're capable of playing, they're going to run off on Portland. That's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what they've proven that they will do to teams that do not have their full complement of players.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax. The voice that you just heard there a moment ago is Chip Williams, Jr. We're running down Grizzly Bear news. Since Chris Faulkner is not able to be with us this evening due to illness, as we finish up Grizzly Bear News, we'll be opening up the phone lines to you. Hopefully you'll be calling in here momentarily. As a matter of fact, let's give out that number right now so we can get them hopefully filling up a little bit, and then we can take calls after we go over the last part of Grizzly Bear News. Call in to 347-327-9173. Please give us a call, ladies and gentlemen. We want to have you call in. We want this to be interactive as we take advantage, unfortunately, once again, of Chris not being here. But ever since we've come back on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves in November, we haven't attempted to take these kinds of calls. So please give us a call, have your voice heard on the program. And you did a great job there, Chip, breaking down the game to win and talking about the fact, and Eric Lenzer, one of our newest contributors over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, his game two full recap does a great job breaking down. Outside of the first quarter of game two, the other seven quarters have been dominated by Memphis. And in the second quarter, last night in particular, the Grizzlies started out struggling in the first. Then they go, whether it be a Tony Allen great defensive play, whether it be Jeff Green hitting a three, Mike Conley Euro steps, and these are all paraphrasing Eric's article. The Grizzlies really had more energy than Portland did. And I'm not sure if it was them just feeding off of the crowd last night. I'm not sure if it was the Grizzlies, you know, just understanding that they are their team and having that confidence back. But they have looked the part of the better team so far this series. And in our game recap from last night, Eric Lenzer does a great job discussing that.
Yeah, he certainly did. And, you know, you look at game two last night, he did a very good job talking about that they pretty much dominated all eight quarters except for that first quarter. But the Grizzlies righted the ship very quickly. And, you know, Joe, this one sequence of plays, I think it came in the third quarter. The Grizzlies came down for an offensive possession. LaMarcus Aldridge kind of gave Zach Randolph a shove. Zach Randolph kind of turned to him very quickly, gave him the stank face. You know, when Zach Randolph kind of curls his face up and looks at people, you knew he was getting ready to do something. So the ball was dumped into Zach. He went about three bangs, just bang, 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 right at LaMarcus Aldridge, backed him into about 3 feet from the basket, spun around, a little lefty hook. He put it in. Then the very next trip, they went ISO for LaMarcus Aldridge for the Blazers, right on Zach Randolph. He tried to bang it in on Zach, couldn't do it. He had to throw it out. It ended up getting a shot clock violation. So that sequence of play, just those two possessions, kind of epitomized what the Grizzlies are. They just beat you up and they play defense. And it was really fun to watch, especially that sequence, because it was kind of a vintage Zach Randolph, you know, just dump it into the big man, let him go bully someone else, and then get a defensive stop on the other end. And once you saw that, you just kind of knew that the game was in hand. And the Grizzlies have just been the better team for these first two games, certainly.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Once again, the voice that you just heard was that of producer Chip Williams. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. We're here on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, and we are looking for you, ladies and gentlemen, to call in and join us for these next 10 minutes or so here. We are looking for the voice of the Grizzlies fans, the voice of Grizz Nation, to come through. Give us a shout-out, a couple of calls here this segment, and we'll be able to close out with some of your views on how the Grizzlies are doing so far in this first-round series against the Portland Trail Blazers. Maybe there's some things that you're worried about moving forward, and I'm about to outline one of the ones I'm worried about right now. The amazing thing about the success that the Grizzlies have had, Chip, is they've really done it without consistent play, offensively at least, from Marcus Gasol and Zach Randolph, and Jeff Green to an extent as well. The Grizzlies' front court, the most important scorers in that front court, have really not been that explosive offensively. They haven't been efficient. They've missed a lot of shots, and of course, Portland has missed shots too because of the Grizzlies' defense in part, so that helps. But in order for Memphis to realistically possibly go into Portland and find a way to sweep this series, those two guys in particular, Randolph and Gasol, have to score, and they have to do so more effectively.
They absolutely do. That's a good point, Joe. Because you look at it, if you look at it from a Portland perspective, number one, you think, okay, Grizzlies just did what they were supposed to do. They protected home court. Now we've got to go back to our place and protect home court. And then hopefully we go steal one, either what would be in game five or game seven. And that's how you won the series if you're Portland. But you also look at it as, too, Beto Udrih scored 30 points in the first two games, and I can just about guarantee you that was not the plan for Portland going in. So it's not that Beno can't keep that up, but from a Portland perspective, you think, okay, we've pretty much, like you said, we've pretty much put the handcuffs on Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, and Jeff Green has not been great. So that's, you feel like you've done a pretty good job there, but you've got great production out of the wings. And as long as Damian Lillard's out on the court guarding Mike Conley, I don't see Mike Conley slowing up. You wonder if Courtney Lee doing what he did last night was a sign of things to come or more of an anomaly. If you base it off of what you've seen the second half of this season, it's probably more of an anomaly. But he did the interview talking about where his hand was hurt. He's been dealing with some injuries, which is something that we found out later on, but that's what Tayshaun Prince dealt with last year. So those things are nagging, and as long as these guys can get healthy, or as long as Courtney Lee is healthy now, there's no reason to expect that he shouldn't be better. Not necessarily saying he's going to be what he was the first couple of months, but, if he can get back to doing something like he did last night, I think Portland's in a lot of trouble because you feel like you're going to start getting some Mark and Zach games where these guys are combining for 35, 40 points, close to 20 rebounds. Because Portland, to their credit, has done a pretty good job defending those two guys so far.
And you have to imagine that Courtney Lee's offensive rating through two games of 146 probably is not going to stand. That would be wonderful if it did, but it probably won't. We have a caller on the line here, Chip. Let's go ahead and take this call, see who we got here. Hello, welcome to the show. You're on with Joe and Chip here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live.
Joe and Chip, what's up, man? It's J-May.
J-May! What's up, J-May? How are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm good. I'm just driving back to Memphis from Knoxville. I mean, I'm not driving at the moment. I pulled over and checked Twitter. And I was I'm going to call and talk some Grizzlies.
Well, we appreciate that. And I know that you probably have, and again, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure you probably do already, but J-May, obviously a contributor for Three Shades of Blue, also one of the co-hosts of Three Shades of Blue Radio on Sports 56 WHBQ in Memphis on Saturday mornings. Appreciate you calling in, J-May. How is Knoxville? Are they? Do they have Grizzlies fever?
It was really disappointing. I was the only guy in Knoxville, I think, with a growl towel. I was hoping to meet up with your buddy Andrew Ford while I was there, but it just didn't work out.
Didn't work out. That happens sometimes, you're not able to make it work. But obviously, J-May, you were hopefully able to catch some of the games, if not all of both. What are some thoughts that you have? Do you think the Grizzlies are going to be able to pull this thing out in a sweep? Do you think it'll be the quote-unquote gentleman's sweep of five games? Or do you think Portland has what it takes to bring this thing back together?
Well, I can tell you, number one, it's amazing how much different the tone is now than when we talked a few weeks ago when we were still kind of searching and wondering what in the world the Grizzlies are about. It looks good right now. And I think that to horribly mangle the saying, the rumors of Portland's demise may have been a bit exaggerated. I'm not ready to write them off yet. But I do think that Grizzlies' first two wins are strong reflection of having turned a corner, and I don't know that Portland in their beat up state can do anything about that. And so I realize you're probably going to go there, my bad. I like the Grizzlies' chances. I do think Portland wins one of these two games in Portland, and that the Grizzlies close it out in five back in Memphis.
That's where I'm leaning to, J-May. I think that it's going to be an opportunity for Portland to kind of get their feet back under them. I think that the one that they're ripe to take would be Game 3 on Saturday night, a couple of nights at home. Aaron Aflalo has guaranteed, basically, that he's going to come back and play, and that'll make a lot of difference for Portland for sure in terms of defending the perimeter and shooting the three ball. So having him back will be good. I think Game 3 is the one that'll be ripe for the taking. But even with Aflalo back, they're still banged up. They're still missing a lot of pieces. And after this two-day break leading into Saturday's game, it's all one-day breaks from there on in. They play Saturday and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, if those games
are
necessary. Yeah, exactly. The two-day breaks leave for a lot of overreaction and overanalyzing and getting mad at Portland comedians for writing articles. So it'll be good to not have that long break, but I think it's going to help, obviously, the Grizzlies – are more banged up than we would care to admit. Mike Conley with his injury, although it looks like it hasn't affected him a ton. You know, he and T.A. still kind of getting over their injuries, and Conley probably won't get over it until he stops playing, whenever that may be. But you would imagine that Portland will get tired legs and eventually that it'll just fade for them.
I'll tell you, my biggest concern is I saw that the writer in the Oregonian, is that how you say that?
Right.
Wrote a pretty harsh article declaring the Blazers broken. And I do hope that that doesn't turn into one of those Mr. Unreliable moments like we had with Kevin Durant last year, that sparked something. I think that if they were at full health and playing poorly, I'd be more concerned about that. I just don't know if they have the horses to, like, regroup and really change the tone of the series. But that, you know, getting hammered like that in your own paper after only two games on the road that, frankly, you were supposed to lose is, could be the kind of thing that rallies them a little bit.
I think you're exactly right. Once again, we're talking with Jonathan May of Three Shades of Blue. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already, at jmay11, giving us a call on the open lines, which is what you should do, too. Call us, once again, 347-327-9173. We have about 5 minutes left in this open call time, so please give us a call, and we'll be happy to talk with you. J-May, we appreciate you calling in, sir. Thank you so much. Have a safe trip back from Knoxville to Memphis, and hopefully you'll be able to settle in and enjoy the weekend, especially hopefully a Grizzlies win on Saturday night.
Absolutely. You guys keep up the good work. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Once again, that was J-May. We appreciate him calling in. That was very nice of J-May calling in there, Chip. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, man. J-May's great. He does a really good job on his radio show. I tell you what, Joe, too, I wish I had the pipes J-May has. He has a really good radio voice. Like,
he does.
That guy can he can bring it from the chest. So he's always got a great perspective on the Grizzlies. He's in a good spot, too. Knoxville is one of my favorite places to be.
So Knoxville, and able to call in, and you're exactly right. He does have a lovely radio voice. I wouldn't say he has the pleasant baritone of one Joe Mullinax. But not everybody can have such tremendous pipes that I do. Just kidding, J-May. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you, buddy. Much appreciated. And once again, hopefully you guys will call in. You have a few minutes left here. We had somebody call and then hang up. Hopefully someone will come, that person will call back, and we can talk to you real quick as we head into the second segment of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Once again, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Chip Williams, my producer, joining me here. And as we head into the second guest, or the second segment, I should say, Chip, excuse me, we talked about a little bit with J-May, this article that comes out from a Portland comedian. Forgive me, the last name eludes me at the moment. But Ian, I know, is his first name because he rates himself as one of the top 100 Ians out there. He's a writer for a comedy show and all sorts of stuff. And there were aspects of this article that were funny. He talks about Jaeger's goatee, which I found humorous because I used to sport a goatee. And, you know, anytime somebody makes fun of someone else for something, I like to say, me too. So the idea of Coach Jaeger having that goatee and other things that he talks about, there were some funny things there. But Memphians, it kind of seems like they took it a little bit far in terms of being upset about the critique, the satire, if you will, the comedy that was attempted at the very least. Maybe you didn't find it very funny. But Twitter in Memphis, obviously a heated thing. Grizz Twitter is an interesting place, as you and I both know, Chip. This article today, and we'll ask Sam about this here in a minute, much ado about nothing, or should Grizzlies fans be outraged? We usually like to find reasons to be outraged.
No, I thought it was pretty funny, actually. I enjoyed it. You're right. I get it. Memphis is a pretty banged-on city. Like, people love to talk about how much they dislike the city of Memphis, now off of the city of Memphis. I get it. I've lived here almost all my life, so it's not fun when that happens. But this was all done in good humor. You know, this wasn't what was the guy's name from the Clippers, like T.J. Simers or something like
Simers,
that?
Simers, yeah.
That he was legitimately taking a shot at the city of Memphis, right? This was done just fun. Like, it was funny. I took it all in good heart, funny, probably a team that's down 0-2, trying to find something, you know, just basically trying to find anything. So I did not take any kind of offense to it. But I understand when you come attack the city of Memphis and things that are in Memphis like the Grizzlies, there are always going to be people there to take up arms to defend it. So I do get it, but I think that people should probably just take it for what it's worth. It's a joke. It's pretty funny. That's kind of my stance on that.
It's ironic that you say that people take up arms, because one of the major critiques and the thing that frustrated me more until I dug a little bit deeper was a tweet that the gentleman had that talked about, you know, Memphians coming at him and fulfilling basically like the stereotype of gun violence. And obviously I lived in Memphis for several years. I still am very passionate about the city, probably always will be. I have people that I work with here who question. I have growl towels up and around my classroom, and they have no idea what they are here in the Northern Virginia area. So they're surprised that I'm still, you know, as passionate about the Grizzlies as I am, and I'm passionate about the city of Memphis, too. It will always be my second home as far as I'm concerned. But people get defensive about Memphis because there are real problems in the city, and they're attempting to be fixed, but they aren't all the way there. And it's kind of like picking at a scab that isn't fully healed. And in the case of some things, like the gun violence, it might never be healed, unfortunately. So, but the issue with that, having an issue with that is, somebody, one of the people that replied to his article, talked about 100 armed dudes coming and meeting him the next time he's in Memphis. So a lot of this is a perpetual situation where Memphis, not everyone, of course, you can't paint with a broad brush, but folks should also be more aware of what the stigmas are about their hometown and try to be more of a positive force in making those changes.
Look, this is not going to be breaking news to you, Joe. I'm sure that you deal with it probably on a little bit smaller scale than our friend Ian does, but there are really dumb people on the internet and people that kind of have the Twitter muscle, you know, that like to say dumb things when they get to type their fingers on a keyboard. So I think that's what that is. Hopefully he realizes that does not represent the majority of Memphis. There's just those one or two people that kind of get the bad name, I think, for everybody else. So, That's all that I think that was. And I think that it all should kind of be taken in stride and just taken as, look, Portland's just trying to cheer themselves up. So if they need to make fun of Courtney Lee's name being Courtney or Dave Yeager growing a goatee, then whatever, let them have it. I like Kevin Light's response to it where he just had some flaming graphic that just said scoreboard. So that's all you got to say. Look, check the 2-0 series leading and come back to me.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you didn't say it, I would have said it. You're exactly right. Scoreboard is the bottom line. If it really bothers you, just kind of point out the fact that, hey, Memphis is kind of running the show in the series, and unless the cavalry comes, which is unlikely at this point, it's going to stay that way. Memphis in five was my prediction, and that's probably what I'm going to stick with, given the way that Conley and Allen in particular are playing. Once again, you're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, joined, as always, by my producer, our producer, Chip Williams. And before we move into the next segment, I do want to give a special shout-out to one of our sponsors, audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. The sponsor itself is audible.com, ladies and gentlemen. It is powered by Amazon, and it is a remarkable audiobook service in which you can get 150,000-plus titles to choose from in terms of audiobooks, remarkable, remarkable, remarkable titles from fiction to nonfiction and everything in between. You choose one, download it, put it in the cloud, put it on your MP3 player, put it wherever you would like, listen to it however you would like. You'd sign up for this service using the URL www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. You go ahead, you get that audiobook download right from the jump that you can use however you see fit. You become a member of audible.com, plus you become a part of an even bigger and better cause, because we here at Grizzly Bear Blues Live, whenever the Grizzlies are out of the playoffs, whenever their season ends, hopefully in June, but whenever it happens, we will announce what we will be donating to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital on our end of the season show. We are going to make a donation to St. Jude in the name of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and we would love for you guys to be a part of that process. And you get a great deal through audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. So once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up for a great, great audiobook service and help yourself to an even better cause. Our guest at this time is a contributor for BlazersEdge.com, the SB Nation blog for the Portland Trail Blazers. They do remarkable work over there. I have joined their community and had some fun conversations, friendly conversations, believe it or not. It's not like Ian Carmel and being told that Joe is a girl's name or anything like that. It's been actually pretty positive over at Blazers Edge, and I've enjoyed my talks over there. I also did a podcast with our guest at this time, and we're excited to return the favor and have him as a guest on GBB Live. His name is Sam Tung. Good evening, Sam. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing a lot better after that intro, Joe. That was awesome.
Yeah, you know, we have some pretty happening tunes over here at Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and I just confirmed to everyone that I am indeed as lame as I sound.
That was terrific.
Pretty happening tunes.
So how's it going, guys?
We're doing pretty well here, Sam. We're talking about Grizzlies Blazers, of course, and you and I earlier today on Twitter had a brief interaction about all of this Ian Carmel, right? Ian Carmel?
I think it's officially Carmel.
Carmel,
but,
okay.
Don't quote me on that, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll go Ian Carmel, as you would know better than I, of course. And we'll just get your perspective on this briefly, because you said something on Twitter that I think a lot of us already kind of assumed, and Chip Williams alluded to a gentleman that used to write in Los Angeles named T.J. Simers, who Grizzlies fans hated because he would always do something similar in terms of knocking the city of Memphis. I believe he said it smelled like a chip, a garbage truck or a toilet. He said it smelled like something.
Yeah, and it's talking about something about it being like a cesspool and
yeah.
Wishing. Yeah, I don't know. He took it a step further, certainly.
Right, and it was still perhaps in jest, Sam, but
right.
it was something that rubbed people the wrong way. And this kind of echoes in that way, but at the same time, I think it was a little bit more obvious, at least from my perspective, and it sounds like from Chip's as well and others, that it was an attempt at humor. You may not have found it funny, but there, it was an attempt at humor, and the response to it maybe was not as necessary. So if you would, just give our listeners kind of an idea. It sounds like you're more familiar with him, obviously, than we are. Is he just trying to get a rise out of folks? Does he really hate Memphis and think Courtney Lee is terrible because Courtney is a girl's name?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for Ian. I know that I'm gonna try to do my best, and he told me personally to, you know, fight the good fight and also let everyone know that he has terrific eyebrows as well. That's what I was told by Ian to pass along to the Memphis fans, but. Yeah, Ian is kind of a local celeb. He's a comedian that really latched on with the local Comcast guys in Portland and provided, you know, kind of an edgier and more humorous view towards the Portland sports scene. But it's kind of funny because in Portland. And, you know, I follow the Blazers, you know, about as closely as anyone does. I hadn't heard a single thing about this Ian Carmel stuff until the Memphis fans were the ones that latched onto it. So that was pretty interesting to kind of see it from the other side. Usually it's Portland fans. Bill Simmons, I think, was the one that coined the phrase that Blazer fans are the NBA's soccer moms. We are extremely protective of our basketball team, but to see that happen to Memphis was pretty funny. But no, he was totally in jest. The guy's very funny, and he's really one of the funnier guys in the city. And maybe Memphis fans were taking it a little too seriously. But here's the thing, too: Memphis fans that might be listening to this podcast and they're, you know, were frustrated with what Ian Carmel said. Here's the reality. Your team just went up 2-0 on the Trailblazers and looked absolutely dominant in both those games. if I were you, I would take it and get over it.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned the comparison between Portland and Memphis in terms of calling Portland the soccer moms, as Bill Simmons said. I always reference this article. I really need to go back and look up who wrote it. I want to say maybe Michael Wallace of ESPN. And Chip, if you remember, please cut in and let me know. But there's an article that compared Memphis to kind of a new age Portland in terms of, you know, it being really the only major sports team in the town. I know folks in Portland love the Timbers, but the Trailblazers have been around forever, and it's a team that's really a staple in the community. The Grizzlies are starting to get to that point in Memphis, and it really is an interesting comparison. Two very unique cities. Portland has its own unique qualities. Lots of people say Portland's an awesome town to go visit, and I would argue the same for Memphis. So I think it's a case of Portland and Memphis being very similar in that maybe they're both a little bit overly sensitive about being kind of the small town on the block that's trying to focus on its one major sports franchise.
Absolutely. And I think the thing for Portland is it's taken – you talk about Memphis and how it's kind of an emerging NBA town. I was actually – I caught the live – I was in Memphis a couple of weeks ago for that Golden State game. I'm sorry I have to bring that up here live on the air.
Thanks,
but a
Sam.
Couple of weeks ago – yeah, you're welcome. But, you know, to see the type of energy around that team was really exciting. And that is the type of energy that Portland has brought for a long time. It is a one-town team, or a one-team town, I should say. You talk about the Timbers. Yes, they are very popular to the point where, you know, the Timbers Army is nationally recognized in terms of how great their fan base is. And then you go right down the road to one of the loudest college football stadiums, Autzen Stadium, at the University of Oregon. So the sports fans in the Northwest are very good. And, you know, you go up even a couple hours north to Seattle, who has probably the loudest NFL stadium in the country. But you do kind of have this overall ownership of this team, this protective quality. And when I was in Memphis, I didn't necessarily see that because I wasn't there for very long, but I definitely felt like there's an energy about this team. It really felt like the city was rallying around them. So if I were in your shoes, I would be getting just as upset. But like I said, if I'm up 2-0 in this series and have looked as good as Memphis has, I'm going to deal with it, and then I'm going to move on, because right now I would absolutely love to be in your shoes. Let me put it that way.
We're talking with Sam Young of BlazersEdge.com. He's a great contributor for them, contributes all sorts of audio and video podcasts, video casts, other things. He's kind of a jack of all trades, for them. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Tung, spelled as it sounds, T-O-N-G-U-E, if you do not already. He's a great Blazers follow for this series. And Sam, you gave mention to the fact maybe Memphis fans should calm down a little bit, because at the end of the day, Grizzlies are up 2-0. They held home court, did what they were supposed to do, and history, the numbers speak for themselves in terms of 94% of teams that take that 2-0 lead to start a series go on and win the series. Now, we talked about at the beginning of the show, Sam, recent history doesn't necessarily show that. The Grizzlies in 2013 went down 2-0 to the Clippers, and then they went on a four-game streak and won the series. And then correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Portland Trailblazers do the exact same thing last year against Houston?
No, actually, Portland went on the road in their first two games in Houston and won both of those games. But if it weren't for a heroic Damian Lillard shot in Game 6 that won the series, it would have gone to like Game 7 back in Houston. So it was kind of a goofy series. It was kind of a backward series, actually, the way it turned out. But thank goodness, at least for us Blazers fans' sake, that it ended on that Lillard shot.
Okay, excellent. So thank you for correcting me. I stand corrected. So that's good. So at least we know for the Grizzlies that occurred. So we know as Memphis fans that this is not a guarantee. At least hopefully nobody thinks that. But taking a look at these first two games of the series, Sam, as a Blazers person, obviously you've watched a lot of Blazers basketball. What are some things that went wrong in this series? And is there anything that went well so far for Portland in their time in Memphis?
Well, I mean, we can get to the things that went well in a moment, because the list is a lot shorter than the things that went wrong. There was obviously a lot that went wrong in the series thus far in Memphis. I mean, I think that the big thing, and the thing that Blazer fans really have been paying attention to, is the fact that the guard play for the Trailblazers really has been subpar. Damian Lillard is the seventh leading scorer in the NBA or somewhere in the top 10. And he is a guy that just really has been in a funk. I mean, he's playing against Mike Conley, who, as we all know, has been facing a foot problem. And it just seems like offensively, he just really hasn't been able to figure out this Memphis defense. And he hasn't been shooting the ball well. And right now, LaMarcus Aldridge has been playing well. You know, that's really been one of the bright spots. But if his counterpart, Damian Lillard, isn't playing well, that's going to be really difficult for the Blazers to overcome. And they've had so many injuries over the last couple of weeks that what has really this has amounted to is that they're playing other guards that really shouldn't be playing. I mean, CJ McCollum is a guy that really came on at the end of the season, but he has been in a massive slump too in this series. He really hasn't made shots, and he's gotten open looks. So that's been frustrating to watch. Steve Blake as well really hasn't played well. I think that Alan Crabb has been the only guy that's been playing well, and he didn't play hardly at all at the end of the season. So that's been probably the biggest frustration for Blazer fans is that guard play, specifically Damian Lillard, hasn't been playing well. And it's going to be really difficult to overcome because the Blazers just haven't been scoring the basketball. They haven't had a single quarter where they've scored over 25 points in this series. I take it back. I think it's been one quarter that they scored over 25 points in this series. And this is one of the best offensive teams in the league. So that's been that's probably the big thing. And then you kind of see that reflected on the defensive end because this is such an offensively talented team. They don't necessarily play great defense, and you've seen in this first couple of games that Memphis has absolutely owned Portland on the offensive end. And if Portland is going to keep in this series, it's going to be they're going to keep up by scoring the ball. And if they're not scoring, they're going to continue to lose these games by 15 points apiece.
And it really is fascinating that it is the guards for Memphis that are doing the majority of the damage, because when you think of the Grizzlies, whether it's a national perspective or from the perspective of a Portland fan or from a Grizzlies fan, you expect Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol to be the dominant forces, but they have really struggled overall shooting the basketball, scoring it. And credit where credit's due, LaMarcus Aldridge has really played terrific defense at times on Zach Randolph. And Marc Gasol has had issues with Robin Lopez as well. Robin Lopez, a very good defender. On the flip side of that, you take a look, and these are stats from your site, an article that I believe it was your Dave Deckard that posted it today. It's an interesting statistic because it measures Lillard, Crabb, McCollum, and Blake compared to Conley, Lee, Udra, and Carter. And the numbers are staggering. Those four Grizzly guards lapped the four Portland guards, 55-27 in terms of points. The Portland guard shot 29% from the field, as the Grizzlies guard shot 57% from the field. 8 assists for the Grizzlies to 2 for Portland. 5 steals from those Grizzlies guards, or smalls, as we referred to them in our recap today, versus 1 steal for Portland. So 5 steals for the Grizzlies, 1 for Portland. 8 assists for the Grizzlies, 2 for Portland. The guards of the Grizzlies are just outplaying the guards of the Trailblazers. And for me, that is the major surprise of this series so far.
It is. I think that, you know, heading into this thing, I think a lot of people thought that the front court for Portland would in some ways be able to handle at least some of what Memphis does. LaMarcus Aldridge is probably the best stretch four in the league. And as you guys pointed out, Joe, when you were on our piece last week, that's the type of player that Zach Randolph really struggles with. And especially in that game two, you really saw Randolph get frustrated with the quick hands of Aldridge. He had 4 blocks and 2 steals in that game. He was just really a pest defensively. And I think that Portland's bigs did a nice job of using that athleticism to really disrupt Marc Gasol. So I think you're right. That's been really a big, maybe not a huge surprise to see Aldridge play well, but maybe the way that Lopez has been playing against Marc Gasol, that's been impressive. But I think the thing that's most frustrating for Blazer fans is that Damian Lillard is one of the most dynamic point guards in the league offensively. He can shoot as well as 95% of the league's or the league's guards. He can also slash to the basket. That's a place where he has improved tremendously this season, is his finishing at the rim. So between those two things, you would think against a hobbled Mike Conley, he would be able to have a bunch of success. But it's really been Conley that's had the most success. So I think that that's the biggest frustration here, is that if Lillard isn't going to play well and Conley is going to play as well as he has, and Lillard is going to not be able to defend a hobbled Mike Conley, and he can't really dominate on the offensive end a hobbled Mike Conley, then I don't really know where the Blazers are going to go in that backcourt, because they don't have Wesley Matthews. They're going to get Aaron Aflalo back, who I'm sure we'll talk about in a moment, but he's not going to be really 100%. So if you, even if you get one of these backcourt players back, it's probably not going to be enough. It really needs to be Lillard that needs to be the game changer and the series changer here in the next couple of games.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm the producer of the program, Chip Williams, joined as always by the host, Joe Mullinex, and we are talking with our guest, Sam Tung from Blazers Edge. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Tung. And Sam, you're talking about Damian Lillard there. One thing that I guess has surprised me maybe a little bit through these first couple of games is just Damian is just not a very good defender. And my guess is it's probably not news to you, but I was reading something or maybe listening to a podcast something the other day, and it was talking about how 6 or 7 point guards had lit Damian Lillard up for 40 points this season. Now, I think Russell Westbrook was one or two of those, and to be fair, he does that to every point guard in the NBA, regardless of who you are, but that's still a surprisingly high number. And a guy like Mike Conley, who's been coming off of, you know, injuries to the lower body, where you feel like a guy that's so athletic and so talented as Damian Lillard could really take advantage of that. How much of that has surprised you? What Mike has been able to do both offensively and defensively against Damian Lillard?
Well, it's been definitely surprising. I think that the one thing that we really didn't know heading into it, neither me nor you guys, is Mike Conley was injured, but what did that mean? You know, like, how much was that really going to affect his game? And to his credit, you know, it has, but he's been able to overcome it. You know, he's right. been able to alter his game to really fit what his body is giving him. But so I wasn't necessarily surprised that he's having as much success against Lillard defensively, because, as you said, it's not news to us. Lillard is a guy that he's improved defensively. If you actually see one of Portland's assistant coaches that works with Lillard almost exclusively, he's really talked about how Lillard has improved his defense in different ways. You can actually see that if you have to post up Lillard, he does a really great job at using his strength to make sure that guys don't get good position. So, for example, that's one spot where he really has improved since he's been in the league. But on the pick and roll, he really has struggled. And against athletic guards, he just can't stay in front of them, which is interesting because he is such an athletic guard. But I think that the one thing about Lillard, and you see it with so many star players, especially offensively driven ones, is that if they aren't playing well on offense, it affects their defense. If they are playing well on offense, it also affects their defense. So right now, if Lillard isn't playing well on offense, you're starting to see that, I don't want to say he's sort of fading in and out of the game, but there are a couple of video clips. I can remember specifically in game one, a piece where Mike Conley drove to the left on a fast break and got an and one, and he just went right past Lillard. It wasn't even close. And those are the types of plays where, to me, those seem more mental than physical. It's not that he isn't a good defender. It's maybe that on that one play, he wasn't a fully committed defender. And I think that that's the one place where Lillard needs to improve, is that that commitment to the defensive end, and he's spoken about it very vocally, is that it's not that I'm not athletic enough. It's not that I'm not skilled enough. It's just an effort thing that every single play you have to give it maximum effort defensively. And right now, that doesn't seem to be the case. And I think that some of that might be just because he struggled so much scoring the basketball on the other side. So to answer your question, am I surprised that Conley has had this much success against Lillard. Not a ton, just because Lillard isn't a great defender, but the part where I'm very surprised is that a hobbled Conley defensively has really been able to keep Lillard in check. And I guess that's credit to the team defense that Memphis has been playing over these last two games.
And that makes sense, especially when you talk about just Damian not necessarily being fully committed on the defensive end. You know, we kind of had something similar in a different way here in Memphis with Marc Gasol, where Marc Gasol was the defensive player of the year a couple of years ago. He's been the anchor of one of the best defenses in the NBA for several years now. But he vowed in the offseason to take that next step on the offensive end and try to bump his average up, you know, maybe 17, 18, 19 points a game to try to be that good, that two-way player that we all know that he can be when he's fully engaged on the offensive end. Because you know you're going to get that on the defensive end. And it's something similar with Damian, where you just got to make that commitment. Because you're right. That's what I've always has surprised me, is that it's not a lack of athleticism. Damian Lillard has all the athleticism you could possibly want to have out of a great defender. So I think that's a good point, just fully committing to wanting to play on the defensive side of the ball. The other thing I want to ask you about is Aaron Aflalo. You touched on it a little bit earlier. Obviously, Wes Matthews is not coming back. I even said it on this podcast. It's terrible. I hate it for that guy. I love watching Wes Matthews play basketball, but he's not coming back. Aaron Aflalo, on the other hand, most likely will be making an appearance in this series at some point. So, number one, when can we expect Aaron Aflalo back?
I actually briefly want to touch on Wes Matthews, just because
sure.
If you think about what Portland needs, they need three-point shooting and they need a perimeter defender. Who is that? Wesley Matthews. So that's really where you see that big advantage from Memphis. We can expect Aflalo tomorrow, on Saturday for Game 3. There was some talk about he might be able to go in Game 2, but he is going to go in Game 3. The big question mark with Aflalo, though, is that if he doesn't have his legs under him, he hasn't shot too many three-pointers in practice. That's kind of the big thing, is whether or not his injury will allow him to be able to shoot three-pointers consistently. And this is a team that's predicated on the three. You know, they shoot as many threes as anyone in the league, and they make a really high percentage of them. And one of the reasons that Aflalo was brought in was because they thought that he could really continue that trend along the perimeter. So he's going to be playing in Game 3. He'll likely be starting in Game 3. The real question, though, is what type of impact can he have shooting from the outside?
Yeah, that's the one thing that I had heard, that it was to the point where he could not even attempt a three-point he could hardly shoot jump shots, period, when he was going through warm-ups. I believe it was prior to Game 2. The guy could not even attempt a three-point shot. He's still just not feeling well. So let's just hypothetically say that, you know, he does start. If he's not able to be fully effective, do you expect Terry Stotts to continue to just let Aaron Aflalo play through it? Or do you see them turning back to maybe Crabb or, I don't know, McCollum, someone like that? What do you think Terry Stotts going to do with him?
I'm not really sure. That's a really good question. I think that a lot of it depends on what his health is. You know, I don't think that Stotts is going to play him 40 minutes if he's going to be a liability. But right now, you know, is he taking Alan Crabb's minutes or is he taking C.J. McCollum's minutes? I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. So I'm not really sure to answer your question, but I do really think it depends on his health. Aaron Aflalo is an underrated defender. You know, that's something that he did really kind of hung his hat on when he was in Denver, and it kind of faded away when he had to become more of an offensive player. But he's a guy that can potentially be that Blazers perimeter defender. But if he can't move, that's going to be pretty tough for him to keep in front of some of these more athletic Memphis guards.
You are listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. The voice you heard just now is that of our guest, Sam Tung of BlazersEdge.com. Follow him on Twitter, @SamTung, if you do not already. A wonderful Blazers follow for this Grizzlies Blazers series and beyond. And he was just speaking with our producer, Chip Williams, about Aaron Aflalo and the injuries that have afflicted the Portland Trailblazers. And it really is terrible. Wesley Matthews is one of my favorites to watch in the league, And he also is infuriating for a Memphis Grizzlies fan, and especially infuriating for Tony Allen, because there have been multiple times where Wes Matthews has cooked Mr. First Team Defense himself, multiple times, actually, that he has made Tony Allen look silly on defense. So Tony always seems to get up now to play Wesley Matthews, but I'm sure Wes is also up to the challenge. All right, Sam, we'll get you out of here on this. Complete this phrase for me, if you will, and I'll do the same for Memphis, okay? So I'll have you go first. Portland will be in control of this series come April 30th, which is the next time we're on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves. There's three games between now and then, Sam, Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday. Portland will be in control of this series come April 30th if blank.
I think if Damian Lillard becomes the best offensive player in the series, and I think it really, you know, it really comes down to that. I think that LaMarcus Aldridge could be the best. He has been probably the best individual offensive player in this series over the first two games. But I just think that Damian Lillard, in terms of an offensive talent, should be the best on the floor. I don't think that there's too much argument over that statement. But the problem is he hasn't. He really hasn't even been like the third best or fourth best guard on the Blazers here over the last two games of this series. So if Damian Lillard, though, is the best offensive player on the floor, that is a guy, especially in the fourth quarter, that can put a team on his back and win a basketball game. They call it Lillard time. He's one of the most clutch players in the league, but we haven't seen it yet. So if he becomes the best offensive player in this series, I think that that might be able to flip the switch. It's going to be, even that probably isn't going to do it because Memphis defensively has been playing so well, but it's really going to rely on Lillard. And I guess if he is the best offensive player in the series and Aldridge continues to play the way that he has, if you're a Blazer fan, you just kind of have to hope that that's enough. And it very well might not be, but that's the only shot that they have.
I think that's an excellent point. I think that he, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge can't do it all by himself. He just can't. He needs Damian Lillard to be that offensively explosive player that he has shown on multiple occasions he can be. He hasn't been that yet. I think you will see glimpses of that. We were talking about this earlier, Sam. I think game three is Portland's best shot to get one of these two in Portland. If they lose game three, I think there's a real chance they might get swept in game four. But I would not be surprised if Portland pulled out the win in game three. Memphis will be in control of this series come April 30th if Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol can find a way to start scoring the basketball efficiently. Portland, once again, to their credit, has done a great job stopping Mark and Zach consistently scoring the basketball. Sam, you mentioned just a little while ago Zach being visibly frustrated. Memphis was up by 11 at halftime without Zach Randolph scoring a point. If you had told the Memphis Grizzlies that was going to happen 2 weeks ago, they would have called you crazy, because Zach Randolph is such an important part of the offense for the Grizzlies. These guards are going to cool off. Beno Udra, obviously the scheme of the Portland Trail Blazers, plays into his strengths a little bit, but he is not going to be that red hot forever. It's going to come down to the stars, Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, starting to pick things up and getting things going and finding ways to score the ball on these Blazers bigs. If they want to win and sweep the Blazers, which, again, I don't necessarily see happening. I think Portland's going to get one of these two in Portland. But if they want to end this thing on Monday night, they're going to have to find a way to get Mark and Zach scoring consistently. Sam, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I'm glad we could return the favor. I've really enjoyed going over and talking with some of the folks that are a part of the Blazers Edge community. You guys got a great site over there, and it's really been refreshing to have a different fan base to interact with during this series. So I'll continue to go over there and check out the works on BlazersEdge.com, and I hope that you encourage those folks over there to do the same for us.
Awesome. Absolutely, man. And thanks again for having me on. And last thing, if you're so worried about eating Carmel, just relax. You won your first two games handedly. It's all going to be okay.
R-E-L-A-X, relax. I think that's an excellent way to view Ian Carmel. Sam, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Joe.
All right, once again, that was Sam Tung, contributor for BlazersEdge.com of SB Nation, the Portland Trail Blazers blog. Great job there from Sam. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, at Sam Tung. As we head into the final segment tonight for Grizzly Bear Blues Live, again, a friendly reminder that you should go ahead and sign up for www.audibletrial.com /grizzlybearblues. 150,000 titles, audiobooks that you can choose from audible.com, powered by Amazon, fiction, nonfiction, biography, and everything in between. You sign up for www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. You have access to all of those titles. You can choose one, download it on the spot. You can put it on your phone, put it in the cloud, burn it to a CD. Enjoy that digital content however you see fit. You sign up with that URL, once again, audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. You get a download to start with, plus, with your membership, Grizzly Bear Blues Live is going to make a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We're going to make one at the end of the season, whenever that may be, regardless. But we want you to be a part of the donation process with us as we head into the end of the season. Again, hopefully it's in June. But once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up for a remarkable audiobook service with audible.com and help us here at GBB Live support an even better cause. Our final guest this evening is the producer of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis's Eric Hasseltine Show. He's done a terrific job the past couple of weeks in terms of producing the program. He always does a good job. But every once in a while, I'll see him tweet out his guest list, and I'll be like, you know what, Ben? That is fantastic producing. As someone who gathers guests on a regular basis for my show, for our show, Chip and I's show, the fact that he does it every day and gets a great guest list together and all that, it impresses the heck out of me. So excited to have him back on the program. He's one of the original friends of the show. He's been great with his time, as have the other 92.9 FM ESPN guys. This is Ben Hogan. Mr. Hogan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
You know, Ben, if we were any better, we couldn't stand it. We just talked to Sam Tung of BlazersEdge.com, the SB Nation blog for the Portland Trail Blazers, and he gave us some insight, and we'll cover this briefly here, Ben, into the Ian Carmel situation. I wasn't able to listen to the show today on the stream. I had football workouts as a coach at the school I work at, but it sounds like, you know, some folks in Memphis, maybe on the radio, have discussed it. Obviously on Twitter, it's been a hot button topic. Is this a TJ Simer situation with this Ian Carmel, or is this just, you know, a comedian trying to run a funny article and Memphians didn't necessarily get it or didn't appreciate it?
I think it's just more of a comedian doing a thing that he does. I mean, he has experience doing late night television, writing scripts for, you know, Chelsea Lately and the late show and all that stuff. He's just a comedian. I mean, I think sometimes Memphis is so proud of itself, its city, its team, the Grizzlies, to a fault, to where anytime somebody from outside makes a joke, even if it's just, you know, tongue in cheek, they take offense to it. And I think that's one of those instances here. It's just him, you know, taking shots at Memphis just because he can. Like, TJ Simers went really personal towards not necessarily just the city part. I mean, it was kind of like, okay, Jeff Calkins went back at him and all that. But I'm sure you've heard the Eric Hasseltine, TJ Simers interview in which
Oh, yeah, I did.
And that's this guy really didn't go personal towards somebody that was beloved in Memphis quite like TJ Simers did. So I think it's a little bit of a different situation. But Memphis is going to be, I mean, Memphis people are going to be Memphis people, and they're going to defend their city, and that's awesome. You know, they're going to do what they want to do. But, again, I think it's one of those things that this dude trying to be funny, and Memphis didn't think it was funny, so now he's getting backlash from it.
Yeah, I thought there was some humorous things in there. I thought the goatee bit with Coach Yeager was kind of funny. You had to kind of chuckle at that. But, you know, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Ben. The fact remains, Memphis is very sensitive, and maybe in some cases rightfully so. There was a tweet later that talked about gun violence that is certainly a topic of discussion in Memphis consistently, something that people really do get sensitive about. And I, to this day, you know, when I would tell people up here now in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, you know, I lived in Memphis for several years, people kind of give you a glance. You know what I mean? They give you a look like, oh, wow, you lived there? And how are you still alive? You know, there's a negative perspective of Memphis
right.
in that way that people are especially sensitive about. But at the same time, in defense of Carmel, there was somebody that tweeted him saying that 100 dudes with guns were going to roll up on him the next time he was in Memphis. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways, right?
Yeah, I just think it's a misperception of the city of Memphis. I mean, there are sometimes, you know, over the summer it seems like crime does pick up a little bit around the city of Memphis, but it's just not all of Memphis. It's not like, well, I live in Memphis, so, you know, I have bars on my windows and I'm, you know, hiding out in the basement. We go about our daily life just like anybody else in any other city does. Just like we're not weird like Portland. I mean, Portland's weird and they're proud of it. So, you know, that's cool with them, and we're proud of our city. So, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. I think that's a good way to look at it. And speaking of being proud of your city, and Portland is unique, and Portland is a city that I have always wanted to visit, even before this series, because I've heard of great things about Portland, especially those voodoo donuts that you see on all those food channel specials. I would love to get one of those. But, you know, Memphis is unique and a special place in and of itself. I know it well in my time that I spent in Memphis. And from seeing the pictures tweeted out by people, the videos of the entrances, and obviously you guys that have the media passes that I was able to have covering for the site last year for the Thunder series, you know, I'm going to be honest, Ben. I've had some pangs of jealousy sitting here in Northern Virginia from afar, watching you guys enjoy what is Memphis basketball in the playoffs. It's really special, and it seems like the first two games here of this series, the playoff, the Memphis basketball ops people outdid themselves. So just being in Memphis for these first two games, the crowd, the intensity level of the crowd, what it was like to be there, what has it been like in Memphis these past couple of games? Is it on the level of the previous series against the Clippers and the Spurs and the Thunder? Is it different? Has anything really happened that surprised you so far with regard to how the city has responded to this new playoff opponent?
Well, obviously, like you said, it's a new opponent that the Grizzlies have not played in the postseason, so they really haven't grown any type of hatred or ill will towards them. And it's crazy to me hearing people talk about, well, yeah, I'm going for the Spurs. You know, I kind of respect the Spurs and everything like that. If we were playing the Spurs, people would be like, oh, it's the Spurs. I hate the Spurs. Or something along those lines. And I really think the Grizzlies game op people took to task the fact that we got to drum up something here, because you go into a game against the Clippers, especially on a playoff level, or the Thunder with Russell Westbrook, and there's already that intensity there because you just want to beat them up and down the court. Sure, you want to beat the Trailblazers, but you don't want to beat them like you want to beat the Thunder or the Clippers or even the Spurs. So what the Grizzlies game op people are doing is keeping the fans invested, especially with the extended timeouts with TV time. They're doing a phenomenal job. I know you talked about the Eric Hasseltine show. We actually had Kristen Balboni from Fox Sports on a couple of days ago, and she did a video about how Memphis won the weekend all the way down to, you know, them beating the Trailblazers, to Z-Bo giving out tickets to 500 fans, to, you know, Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake having a kid wrapped in Grizzly stuff, to a fan having an awesome championship belt. And then the icing on the cake was Grizz, you know, jumping off the ladder and doing a splash onto the table on Natch, and which was amazing. And, like, I was sitting there last night, I think it was around the fourth quarter, and the Grizzlies seemed to have the game in their hands. And the whole arena, when Grizz went up to the top and dropped the We Grind Here banner, it just felt like it was, you know, Western Conference Finals or a Game 7 against the Clippers. You're not going to get that raw emotion with one of those games as you are with the Blazers, but the crowd was just so into it. They were loud. They were waving the growl towels. It just seemed like, you know, all was right with Grizzlies basketball, which it is.
And this time of the year, especially as, you know, Barbecue Fest and Music Fest and all that stuff gets started up with Memphis in May, it really is a time where Grizzlies basketball, and we've talked to Jeff Calkins about this on the show, Grizzlies basketball in May is really something that's starting to become in and of itself an introduction to spring and summer in the Memphis area, Grizzlies playoff basketball. And I'm with you, Ben. I think that the basketball ops people in Memphis just do a phenomenal job, so shout out to them. Continue the good work. The We Grind Here thing, I saw that banner and that picture and that video that somebody took. Pretty amazing stuff. Now, the games themselves, obviously they haven't been too close. Both games decided by an average of about 14.5 points. With the first quarter of Game 2 being the exception, it's really been domination from Memphis on Portland. The health of Mike Conley and Tony Allen, for me, Ben, going into this series was the major factor in terms of whether or not it would go 7 if Conley and Allen couldn't play, or if it would go 4 or 5 if Conley and Allen could and if they were able to play well. They've played well, and you'll talk to Chip here in a moment about their injuries, but just in general, we'll start with the Grizzlies and the Blazers in terms of which players for each team have impressed you the most the first two games of this series. Which one for the Blazers, which one for the Grizzlies? Who has impressed you the most, Ben?
Well, with the Grizzlies, it's kind of a toss-up, but if I had to choose one, I would go Courtney Lee, and simply because Courtney Lee disappeared at times to where folks are saying he needs to come off the bench. He needs to come off the bench. We're going to switch up the lineup. It needs to be Tony and Jeff Green, and Courtney needs to come off the bench. And he's turned into the guy that we saw at the beginning of the season, aggressive, using his pump fake to get a good shot, wide open shot, and he's not afraid to pull the trigger. And that was the one thing that Courtney Lee was doing towards the end of the regular season was he was afraid to shoot the ball. And when your job is to shoot the ball, what else are you bringing to the table? Why are you out there? And Courtney Lee has shown that the reason he's out there is because he can knock down the shot, and he's done that so far.
Yeah, Courtney Lee being in that position to shoot that basketball, score it the way that he has, and do it efficiently as he has really been an amazing, amazing thing. For me, the most impressive Grizzly, I think I would go with Courtney Lee. I agree with you. But just to be different, I would say somebody that's really impressed me so far has been Beno Udrih because of what he's been able to do to the scheme of the Portland Trailblazers. He has been the X factor in this series because of his ability to shoot that mid-range jumper that all of these analytics and all of these stat heads and all of these metric studiers – and in fairness, they're not necessarily wrong, but because as people say, okay, the mid-range jumper is the least effective shot in the game, we're going to give that to teams, we're going to take away the rim, we're going to take away the three. Well, Beno Udrih is the best mid-range shooter in the game, and Courtney Lee isn't too shabby at it either, and these two guys are just feasting on their open opportunities from that part of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like I said, it was a kind of a toss-up. He was the other guy that, you know, was just surprised me so much. And yeah, I mean, as much as I love analytics and all that stuff, it sometimes it just comes down to old-fashioned watching film and what a guy can do on the court with the eye test. And that's what he's been able to do, is he's been able to find himself open space, knock down the jumper. And you know, there's not really been, I mean, there has been a drop off obviously with Conley because Conley's quicker, but there really hasn't. The point guard play for the Grizzlies has just been outstanding.
They've done a phenomenal job. Okay, so those are the most impressive so far for the Grizzlies. Let's stay with the Grizzlies for now, Ben, and let's talk about who's disappointed you the most. Hate to be a Debbie Downer, but there's got to be somebody, even with as well as the Grizzlies have played, that maybe hasn't played as well as they could or should. Who is somebody who you think probably needs to step up heading to Portland?
I hate to say it, but Jeff Green, you know, we've seen him take over games at times, and we haven't really seen that from him coming off the bench. I know it's he really kind of played just one game as a guy coming off the bench with Tony and Courtney starting, and I guess the last, like, 15, 20 games, and now he's trying to get back into it. But we need to see that aggressive Jeff Green. We need to see that Jeff Green, that the most athletic player on the court, Jeff Green, and we haven't seen that yet in this series, I don't believe. You know, we've seen, like, little small flashes of it, but we haven't seen him just dominate athletically as we saw in the regular season.
And as a Jeff Green guy, Ben, I am a Jeff Green guy. I'd like to say I'm probably one of the original Jeff Green guys in terms of when the trade happened, but I agree with you completely. You're exactly right. Jeff has to be able, especially when he comes off the bench, this depleted Portland bench. I mean, I'm not looking ahead because I think Portland can make this a series if the Grizzlies don't take care of business. But if Memphis moves on to play Golden State, Jeff Green comes off the bench, he's going to be playing against guys that are borderline quality or starter quality players. If he's not able to take advantage of the Portland bench right now, that's going to be a serious cause for concern.
Yeah, No doubt. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Because I thought with Jeff Green coming off the bench, it gave the Grizzlies that advantage of. Chances are there aren't many players in the playoffs that are at the quality of Jeff Green when Jeff Green is at his best coming off the bench. I mean, Jamal Crawford, he's one of those guys that can come in and make a difference as much as Jeff Green can. But there aren't many others, especially, or not especially, but even on the Western Conference and how deep the conference is, there's not many guys that come off the bench that can make as quite of an impact as Jeff Green can.
You're exactly right. So when we take a look at that and we say Jeff Green needs to be better and we've been impressed with Courtney Lee, Baino Udra, basically the guards in general have been fantastic for the Grizzlies. In terms of who needs to step up for Portland, because, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, I think you can make an argument for him. The defense he's played on Zach Randolph, even if he hasn't been an efficient scorer, he's been pretty impressive. I think I know your answer to this already, Ben, but who needs to step up for Portland in order for them to make this a series?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's not listening to me. He's probably reading the newspaper, but Damian Lillard, obviously.
Yep.
I think he's shot the ball 34 times. He has 32 points. He's outscoring Baino by two in this series. You got to get more out of a guy that was basically writing letters about how great of a player he was and how he deserved the All-Star nod. You got to back it up, dude. You just got to back it up. You know, you came in, you put this on you. He did that at the All-Star break, saying how great of a player he was and how he deserved to be an All-Star. Well, he's not playing like one.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am Chip Williams, the producer of the program, joined as always by the host, Joe Molinex. Talking with our guest, Ben Hogan. Follow him on Twitter, @NotTheGolfer. And Ben, you know, you two guys, y'all are talking about guys that have impressed you so far throughout this series. Two guys that I think have undeniably been impressive, especially in Game 2, are Tony Allen and Mike Conley. They were kind of the two X factors. You didn't know what to expect because it seems like it's been a long time since we saw those guys play a regular season game. And you really had no idea what to expect. You know, how injured were these guys? How out of shape were they? What was it going to be like? And especially I think Tony Allen last night played something like 36 minutes. So that was impressive to see out of him. Mike Conley, what he has been able to do to Damian Lillard on both sides of the basketball has really impressed me, because you knew going into the series, I think, that Damian Lillard was not a good defender. You know, he's had guys pretty much light him up all year long. But you felt pretty good about maybe Mike getting back on track offensively. But defensively, you just touched on it. He's taken 34 shots to score his 32 points in two games this series. And this is one of the arguably – I think inarguably he's got one of the top 10 scoring averages in the entire NBA. So Mike's done a terrific job on both sides of the basketball. How impressed have you been with these two guys coming off of injury, especially since we didn't really know what to expect going in?
Well, it didn't look like they were injured at all. I mean, Tony Allen has come in, done Tony Allen things. He's been all over the court, diving for loose balls, shutting down folks, even being Tony on offense at times, which – you know, drives fans crazy, but you trade all that for what he does on the defensive end and creates havoc for opposing teams. And with Mike, after game one, Eric interviewed him for the post game for the radio broadcast, and Mike said he felt a step slow still. And I tweet out, I go, Mike Conley just said he felt a step slow. As fast as he was and as quick as he was in game one, for him to be, you know, a step faster, that's kind of scary for the rest of the Western Conference, and I think that's the case. And I know one of your colleagues at SB Nation, Mike Prado, put out an article today about the seven things that make Mike Conley so underrated, as well as, you know, effective. If you go and look at that, he has little, you know, gifts about it, and, you know, it's perfect. He's able to funnel Damian Lillard into help to where either it's Tony Allen or Mark Gasol to where he gets stuck. And then he can't do anything else. He's able to find the creases on the offensive end. With as compact as the Grizzlies' offense is, you have to have a guy that can, you know, fit his way through small spaces, and Conley's been able to do that. It just, like I said, it looks like these two guys aren't even injured.
It does. It's really been incredibly impressive what those guys have been able to do. Pretty much on such a quick turnaround, I guess, from being injured. You know, it seems like they just kind of flipped the switch. Here they are. It's the old Mike Conley. It's the old Tony Allen. And Tony kind of did this last year a little bit. He took some time off before the playoffs and then was tremendous, obviously, guarding Kevin Durant. We talked a little bit about this in our last segment with Sam Tung from Blazers Edge about Aaron Aflalo possibly coming back. He said he's for sure going to come back and play in Game 3. Does that concern you at all, them getting a guy that they can play out on the wing, a wing spot that they haven't had a lot of production out of these first couple of games?
Not really, because the reason he didn't play yesterday was because he couldn't physically shoot a three. And this is a guy that you're expecting to come into the game and make a difference. He couldn't shoot a three at all. Like, he could shoot mid-range jumpers okay, but when he was working out before the game yesterday, he wasn't taking any shots. He was just kind of moving around, dribbling around, doing stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he's going to be your fix to your three-point shooting and to your perimeter play. I see him making somewhat of an impact, but I don't see it, you know, making an impact like some people are saying whatsoever.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax. I am excited to be joined by our guest at this time, as always, our wonderful guest, Mr. Ben Hogan. Follow him on Twitter at NotTheGolfer. He is 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis's Eric Hasseltine Show producer. And the voice you heard before his was that of our producer, my producer, Mr. Chip Williams. Now, Ben, as we head into the last part of our segment here, the last part of our time together, the week ahead for these Memphis Grizzlies, they're up 2-0, as we've discussed. They've been dominant in this series. They've played much better offensively. They've done a great job protecting the basketball for the most part and forcing turnovers on the other end. Deflected passes, the energy on the defensive end has just been remarkable. And Chip, to give credit to him, I think he tweeted out that was the most Memphis Grizzlies sequence I've ever seen last night when it happened. But it was a situation where they forced a shot clock violation after multiple defenses of shots and passes, and Dave Yeager is on the sideline pumping his fist, fired up. You know, you don't see that very often from an NBA team, being that excited about playing tremendously awesome defense. So it seems like Memphis is clicking on all cylinders right now, and it's a great time to be able to do that. We talked about earlier in the show how after tomorrow, after Friday, this is going to be the end of the 2 days off. It is going to be game, day off the rest of the way. And between now and our next recording on April 30th, there are going to be three games. They're going to play at Portland Saturday and Monday, 2:10:30 starts on the East Coast for me, so that'll be fun. Got to make sure I get naps in on those days. And then on Wednesday, they're back in Memphis for Game 5, if necessary. And we're still able to say that at the time of this recording because Memphis is up 2-0 as we record this on Thursday night. So it's possible that Game 5, as of now, may not be necessary. I have a feeling that it will be, but maybe it's not. And we're about to get Ben Hogan's opinion on that. What do you think the series is going to look like when we get back on the airwaves next week, Ben? Do you think that the Grizzlies are going to be done with the Portland Trailblazers already? Or do you think that they're going to have to find a way to win a Game 6, perhaps, in Portland that Friday night?
The problem is I hate to
I know. Every time I do this to you, you do. Yeah, I know you don't like it.
Well, no, it's you don't want to sound too homer by saying, because, I mean, this team is just, the way that they're playing is just crazy. And, you know, it's like with the Defensive Player of the Year voting. You know, you don't want to be too homer and say Tony Allen or whatever or anything like that, but you watch this team play, and the way they're playing right now, they're clicking on all cylinders. And I went into the Trailblazers locker room after the game last night, and they showed no emotion whatsoever. They just acted like that they were defeated. They were done. You know, Chris Kamen was the only guy that was kind of like, okay, we can still do this, blah, blah, blah. Whereas LaMarcus Aldridge just answered the questions, saying, you know, well, the fans in Portland are great, and it'll be a little different and all this stuff. And Myers Leonard was talking about how they haven't had healthy guys pretty much the whole time that they've played the Grizzlies, which is false because Wesley Matthews had, you know, two good games against them towards the beginning of the season. But it's going to be over by the time you're on the air next Thursday, whether it be in 4 and 5. I heard you guys talk about it, and they, you know, probably get Game 3, because if they don't get Game 3, then they're going to sweep, in my opinion. But I can say for certain that you will be previewing a second-round series this time next week.
bold prediction from Ben Hogan. That's what I'm talking about, Ben. That's what I'm talking about. I like it, and I'm right there with you. I think that they're going to, if Portland is going to make this a series, and I truly believe that they still can, because we haven't seen Damian Lillard cooking with gas on offense yet. I think that the energy of the Portland fan base in Game 3 is going to ignite him. I think it'll be a competitive game. I don't see the Grizzlies getting blown out by any stretch of the imagination the way they're playing right now. But I do think that Portland will take Game 3. That would be my official prediction if I were doing the preview. I hope I'm wrong, but that's just my gut feeling, is that Portland would take that game. And then I'm with you after that, Ben. I think Game 4 the Grizzlies will take, and then Game 5 in Memphis. That'll be the gentleman's sweep, as they like to call it. But I also agree with you, Ben. If Memphis finds a way to win Game 3, and Dave Yeager's probably hyping this up to his players as we speak, if we win Game 3, this series is over. They're going to fold, and Game 4 will be ours for the taking. So I think you're exactly right about everything that you just said. This is Memphis's series if they want to take it by the throat and make it theirs. But they have to keep up the intensity, especially on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, and no doubt. Now, it's going to be a little harder because, you know, you don't have the crowd behind you and everything like that, but they're not scared. They've won twice in Portland already this season. They've beaten this team 6 times out of 6 this season. This is a team that, you know, they knew what they were doing in the last game of the season when they played Indiana, and they wanted Portland, and this is why. Because they know that Portland, the Grizzlies are the worst matchup possible for the Portland Trailblazers, and it's showing right now. And, you know, I just don't see any way of Portland even, they can, you know, if they don't win Game 3, they'll make a game of it, and I do think they would get swept, but I just don't see them climbing back into the series to push it to a 6th or 7th game.
I don't either, and it's because of the depth more than anything. I think if Wesley Matthews were healthy, I think if they were full bore ready to go, this series truly is that 4 or 5 toss-up, and I think that you're seeing a Game 7 in Memphis, which is a remarkable atmosphere. But at the same time, I think that the injuries are going to do them in. The fact that Conley and Allen can play through theirs, and unfortunately Wes Matthews can't play through his, I think that's done in the Blazers. I think Grizzlies in 5. I'm right there with you, Ben Hogan. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. Greatly appreciate it. And you know we'll have you on the show again soon.
No problem, guys. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. And go Grizzlies.
Go Grizzlies. Thank you, Ben. Once again, that was Ben Hogan, the producer of the 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis's Eric Hasseltine show. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, @NotTheGolfer, if you do not already. And Chip, Ben, and I are right on the same wavelength there. He's thinking the series will be over by the time we get on these Blog Talk Radio airwaves, and we're going to start talking about the second round. What do you think? Do you think that this series is over by the time we get back on this show, or do you think the Blazers are going to push it to 6 or 7?
Yeah, I wish I had some kind of super hot take or bold prediction or something for you. But I don't. I think that I'm perfectly in line with everything that you guys said. The Blazers have their backs against the wall right now, and you would expect that with the home crowd behind them, you're going to get their absolute best effort in Game 3. So if they get one, that's where it's going to come. Because like you guys said, if you lose Game 3, I think that just completely takes the air out of the balloon. They all have nothing left. And Game 4 should be a sweep. They should knock it out. Regardless of the outcome of game 3, whether they win it or lose it, we should be talking about a second-round matchup by the time we're on the playoff, or by the time we're on this podcast again. So, yeah, nothing new from me. The Grizzlies, I said it earlier, when you don't have your full complement of players in the playoffs, the Memphis Grizzlies make you absolutely pay for that, and they're doing that in this series. And I don't expect anything to change, barring some unforeseen event happening.
Yep, I think that you hit the nail on the head there again there, Chip. The fact that they're injured is really the major thing. I really do believe in my heart of hearts, if this Blazers team was full strength, full speed ahead, I think this is a 7-game series. I really do, because Portland has the personnel, when Wesley Matthews is good to go, to really give these Grizzlies trouble. When you talk about Damian Lillard, Wes Matthews, Nikola Batum, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Robin Lopez, that is a darn good starting 5 in the NBA. And they would have competed right along with these Grizzlies for 7 games. I do believe that. Unfortunately, they don't have that full complement of guys, and that really has turned the tide, and Memphis is taking advantage. Thank you all for listening this evening, of course, or if you're listening to the Archive Podcast, thank you so much for doing so. I want to make sure I thank our guests this evening. I want to thank, obviously, producer Chip Williams for powering through with me as we went through the Grizzly Bear News segment. I also want to thank Jonathan May of Three Shades of Blue and Three Shades of Blue Radio on Saturday mornings, Sports 56 WHBQ in Memphis. Make sure you're giving them a listen or shout out if you haven't already. Thanks to him for joining us on our open lines when we had the phone lines open earlier. I also want to thank Sam Tung of Blazers Edge. I appreciate him, and I appreciate that community at BlazersEdge.com. They have been wonderful, at least to me, as I've gone through and commented and joined in some discussions about this series, doing my podcast with Sam earlier before the series began. So very appreciative to them and thankful for Sam joining us. And, of course, thank you to Ben Hogan of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis for joining us. As always, a great job by Ben. Next week, April 30th, you heard it from Ben, you heard it from me, you heard it from Chip. We think we're going to be doing a second round playoff preview on April 30th. We're excited about that thought, of course, moving on to the second round, although the opponent is a little bit ominous, possibly the Golden State Warriors, who have dominated the Grizzlies the last two times these teams have played. Don't want to move ahead too fast because Portland can, with offensive explosive firepower, find a way to make this a series. But if it plays out the way that a lot of folks think, Grizzlies in five, we'll be taking a look ahead to the next round with our one confirmed guest for next week, Kevin Leip of the Memphis Flyer Beyond the Arc blog. He'll be joining us next week, and we'll be sure to talk to him either about that second round matchup or game 6 and 7 coming up for Memphis against Portland. Want to make sure you go to www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up for a great audible.com membership powered by Amazon and help us here at GBB Live support St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Make sure that you are signing up for the podcast version of GBB Live on iTunes. If you do not already do that, subscribe on iTunes to the podcast. Go ahead, go out, sign up, subscribe, review, give us stars and all that fun stuff. We have one review over on iTunes right now. Add to those. Hopefully it'll be nice reviews. But if they're not, give us some criticism. We can always improve, and we can up our ante over on iTunes. Once again, April 30th, same time. We will be on these Blog Talk Radio airwaves. I want to thank Chip. I want to thank Sam. I want to thank Ben. But most of all, I want to thank you for listening. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Grind forth. Playoff time in Memphis. Lord.